Was it, John? Did you interview? Get your first taste of the combine last night?
We did. Yeah, we interviewed about I think probably 8 to 10 guys.
Okay,
and it was a good night. It was. You know, I thought 15 minutes, because we have each of them for 15 minutes, that was going to be short. It was actually just about right.
Okay.
You know, so that's the only thing that's been kind of surprising to me, is that I thought 15 minutes would be enough time, but it turns out to be plenty of time.
How's your career prepared you to do interviews?
Interviews?
To actually be the interviewer.
Yeah. The good thing is there's enough people in the room, I can kind of sit in the back and, you know, we've got the questions already kind of lined up, and then it kind of just goes from there. Nice catch there, dude. Wow.
Mike almost.
He is. You're at 7 o'clock tonight for an interview.
John, you've been on the job for a little bit, but and in the office, whatever. But does being here kind of make it seem even more real? The process now of evaluating and going through this for the first time, professionally.
You know, everything's kind of new for me. But the bottom line is, we've been going so hot and heavy the last month and a half. You know, I got into it early and often, and so I mean it's just because this is new to me, and I never came here when I was a player, so I've heard about the combine but I've never been here, so it's kind of going through this process understanding it, but it's pretty much what I understood it to be. And you know, it takes the time to meet these kids, and which is great.
Why didn't you come here as a player?
First of all, when I was a player, there's four of them, and that wasn't it was before they had one of them. There was kind of like four of them, so back then they weren't nearly as big as this is. So I just.
Which one did you go to?
I didn't go to any of them.
So you were 0-4.
Yeah, I was 0-4.
What's your impression? General impression of it? You said you kind of heard.
I'm looking forward to seeing them work out. We haven't been to a workout yet. I was just getting here yesterday, and then going through the interviews last night. But obviously, there's a lot of. Information that is gained from here, and getting to see these guys up front and personal. I think that until we see tomorrow working out, but it's also nice to kind of see everybody and kind of get back connected to the guys that are in the league that I knew that I haven't seen for a while. So, and you know, so that's kind of what I've enjoyed.
John, and possibly looking at how some of these quarterbacks are going to work out the next couple of days, you haven't played a position. How do you look at them? What type of perspective do you think you'll have just watching these guys go through the drills?
You know, I guess the perspective I look at will probably be, as I look at a lot of guys, it's probably a little bit different. I look at it as if I were playing against them. And so, I mean, especially as a quarterback, you know, having the perspective of being where they are. The one thing that I've found since I retired, that the game is a heck of a lot easier sitting 20 rows up. And in those box, in that end zone box, the game was pretty easy from there, because you get it, you know, it's, you see everything, and you don't have those 300 pounder breathing down your neck. So I think the perspective of me having been in the pocket and played that position helps me. And I guess I can look at it and try to understand what they're thinking, what they do think about, and what they don't think about as far as reads and, you know, progressions and, you know, different offenses that they're coming out of college, or what they may be thinking. I think it's probably the perspective I'm going to try to look at it from, rather than just look at him as a pure player.
So you have a good perspective on pass rushers then?
That, you know, the other, you know, I think the other good one I have is defensive backs, because I know what I like to go against, and I know what I didn't like to go against, and you know, the way that I thought about guys, and so, you know, what I was watching film was more about playing against them, and so I'm not so sure that's going to change so much. When I know when I watch them on film the past month and a half, that I've always looked at, would the guy worry me? Can the guy catch the ball? You know, if a guy can't catch the ball, he never really scared me.
Speaking of DBs, how did the Champ Bailey thing go from looking like it wasn't going to get done to
that? Well, I think that to us, it never looked like it was not getting done. I mean, I think that was kind of the perspective. But it took us, you know, with getting the staff and getting everybody in there, getting our team evaluated, and then kind of getting somewhat of a plan. We couldn't do all that until, everybody got comfortable, knew him, especially the new defensive coaches, and then, you know, getting our plan and figuring out where, you know, Champ was. And so once that happened, it was rather quickly that, you know, that it moved.
How long did it take your defensive coaches to watch film? They go, yeah, this guy's all right. It's okay.
It took them about an hour.
What's your take on the quarterbacks with the spread offenses? You know, like Cam Newton and Tebow and, you know, can you see that that's an adjustment for him?
You know, there's no question. And especially it's an adjustment when you see you're watching film and all of a sudden you see 11 guys look to the sideline.
Yeah.
Because they're calling the audibles from the sideline.
Yeah.
That's an adjustment. I mean, anytime you see that, you know it's going to be somewhat of an adjustment coming to the NFL because the coach is not going to be able to call the audibles from the sideline. And so I think that is a concern. I think, you know, it's a great offense. And the thing is, especially for college, if you look at it, if I was a college coach, that's probably what I'd be doing too, especially when you have the athletes back there like a Cam Newton that are back there running it. The thing is, you want them back there not thinking and just playing athletically because they're so good at that. So I think that is, there's no question that's a big adjustment.
John, is the prototype for a franchise quarterback changed a little bit when you see guys like Roethlisberger? I mean, obviously you were unique that way as well. Guys able to shake guys off, Freeman, Rodgers, even Michael Vick. And, is it becoming more of that extend the play? Quarterback.
I think the ability to be able to do that, and I think even so, whether it's Roethlisberger or, to me, him and Vic are different because Roethlisberger kind of does it within the pocket,
right.
And he gets out a little bit, whereas Brady's pretty much in the same thing also, except he doesn't get outside the pocket, but he does a great job in the pocket. So I think that's always been the case with a quarterback is having that ability to feel a rush, move within the pocket, and then if, depending on who it is with the athletic ability, get out, and get a second chance on a play. I think that, that's always been there, and it just helps you that much more now to be able to do that.
You mentioned, for instance, with evaluating a DB, the kind of guy you would or wouldn't want to face. But will that, when you go through these evaluations, have you sort of prepared a way you're going to approach this? Is there sort of a standard template that the organization has already put together that you are definitely going to follow, or do you have your own John Elway system?
As far as evaluating guys?
As far as evaluating guys.
I think that everybody has their own little way of evaluating people. I mean, we all sit there and watch film, and so we're all going to draw our own impression off what we see on that film. And so, I mean, I don't think there's a template that everybody looks at. Obviously, once we send scouts out, they've got kind of a template of what they're supposed to put in there or how they're supposed to follow the evaluation process and how they write players up. But I think everybody has their own different way of evaluating these guys. And so I think that the thing is that what we've done is really try to get all the personnel people involved in the process and hear what they have to say about it. And then eventually, as we get closer to the draft, we'll start ranking guys and getting them in a position where we think they fit on our football team.
John, most of the mocks already have you guys going defensive line pretty consistently. How would you gauge the defensive line as it stands right now?
Our defensive line?
Yeah.
Well, obviously, I think, going to the four-man line, we need some, there's some people that we need there. Just because going from a 3-4 to a 4-3, obviously the numbers are there. We've got two free agents now that are out there. And then, we've got Jamal and Bannon that are on contract with us. And so, obviously it's something I think that we have to look at and make that what we're going to do there. But again, we're still in that process and how we rank them and what that plan is going to be once we kind of get the whole plan together is, what money we have, where is that going to go, and where's the emphasis going to be. And obviously, as we've talked earlier, there's always been an emphasis on the defensive side because we got to get a lot better there.
You were talking about the quarterback position, have guys that you might be afraid of. How about this guy, Patrick Peterson? He just seems pretty special.
He, a great athlete, and he can, he not only is it as a player, but also as a returner. He's special as a returner, and so a guy that can do a lot of different things for you. And athletically, he's as good as anybody in the draft, because he can run and he's got good size for a corner. I think he's 210, 205, 210. So he's got good size. And a guy that can make some big plays, which is, I think that's what especially at the cornerback position, you like those guys that can make those plays because those are game changers.
Do you know every move?
There's going to be some kind of free agency.
What's that?
Are you confident there's going to be some kind of free agency, or how are you approaching that?
We're going as planned. We're just going to wait and see what happens. But as far as we're concerned, it's business as usual for us.
Do you feel even a slightest bit of burden here that I mean, you want to succeed in this regardless. But your success in this could, in fact, maybe open the door for some other guys who are similar to you. Some of them have pursued media. Some of them are just doing different things in their post football. But if it works out for John Elway, maybe other teams would give opportunities for other prominent ex-players to be in this role.
Well, I would hope so. I mean, I think that, and I don't really feel like we've been shut out in the first place. You know, I think it's a matter of being at the right place at the right time and also having the qualifications to be able to do it. I think that, if I had been, obviously a little bit inexperienced, but if I had been through the Arena League for 6 years, I'm not sure I'd be standing here. I mean, I think that looking back, what I've been through in the month and a half I've been back, that what I learned in the Arena League has been invaluable. And I'm glad I did that, and the experience I've gained there has helped me tremendously so far.
What was the biggest lesson from Arena League?
I think the key thing is just the process. I mean, even though the Arena League obviously is not the same magnitude, but it's still a sport franchise, and we still played games, and so the processes that we did were pretty much still the same there, dealing with the agents and getting guys signed, and even though we didn't have a draft there, this is much different than the Arena League, but you know, through the process of signing players, evaluating players, getting players on the field was a lot the same.
John, every step you've taken has been an important one, hiring a coach, staff, etc. But when you look at this draft, and as far as the team's success on the field, top four, top 50 picks, how critical is this to turning the corner, this particular draft for you guys?
It's very crucial. I mean, we know that the key thing is, and we've talked about it, is the fact that we've got to be good in the draft. And, you know, we can't miss in the draft, you know, especially with where we are. We don't have the luxury of having many misses, especially when you have those picks that we have. You know, we've got to be dead on, and the guys that we do go with have to be able to play for us and play for us early. And so we know that for us to get back what we want to get, we've got to be good in the draft. And, you know, obviously there's, you know, some, you know, there's discussions on whether we've been good or bad in the draft, you know, in the past. But, you look at last year's draft, we got some pretty darn good players out of there. So we've got to continue that process and be, you know, we cannot miss in the draft. We got to be good there.
How smoothly has the quote-unquote three-legged stool been working between you, Brian, and John?
You know, it's been great. It really has. I mean, I think that, and the more I get to know John and the more I get to know Brian, the better it works. I think that we all have the pretty much on the same page on obviously the direction we want to go and what we want to try to do. And I mean, that's been the great thing is we've thought a lot alike. Up to this point. So, it's worked very well, obviously, with John and his background, the success he's had, and his ability to work with people. And I think that when you talk about John Fox, you talk about him being a player's, player's coach, and he's also, he's very good to work with, and it's been great, as well as Brian. I mean, I think that everybody kind of getting adjusted to everybody, and with me coming in new and now John and his staff, it's been pretty darn smooth.
With John being a player's coach, like you say, how much do you think he helped sell the champ on the idea of being?
Well, I think the champ, we want a champ back, and so it was just a matter of, getting the numbers right, but also, what champ had heard about John, I think had also played a big, very much of an influence on him, and he wanted to stay in Denver. And so, the funny thing is that we had the numbers and everything were all lined up, but Champ wanted to sit down and talk to John. And so he said, all right, John, if you guys come into that meeting and he doesn't want to come here, you're gone. So I said it's for you, so you better make sure he's here. And so, it worked out great. I think just the experience of being around football and understanding the game, I think, is the biggest part of it. I think that he was a guy that, we're talking about this last night. It'd be 10 years this April that he passed away. And so the last time I spent with him was in the draft in 2001. He passed away. And so I sat there, and it was good for me just to be able to watch different guys and get his opinion on different guys and see if I was seeing the same type of things that he was seeing. And there's guys that are still playing that back then. I mean, he was a big Drew Brees fan back then. You know, mm-hmm. Those type of things that stick in my mind that, and different guys that he was talking about. And I'd ask him, I said, what'd you see here? And the thing is the competitiveness, and that's what I remember him saying as a guy, as a competitor, especially about Drew.
Right.
And so those things that you know, that's one thing that's stuck in my mind.
Were you mostly on the same page?
With Drew?
No, I'm just on most of the players.
Most of them.
Yeah.
You know, I think that, and the thing is, I've said this before, I saw Cornell Green last night, who's been a long-time Broncos scout, a good friend of my dad's. I said, you know, he'd love this right now. You know, if my dad was still around, he'd been, I told everybody that he'd been my first hire. He was still here, you know, just because of his knowledge and the respect I had for him. But Cornell was talking about him also, so it's kind of fun to.
Does Cam Newton strike that way in the sense that he wants to throw here and put on a show and make a veteran and wants to come out?
Yeah, and I think that, I think it's good for people to get around Cam. I'm not so sure what, in my opinion, I'm not so sure what he does on the field. Is gonna, I think you can watch the film and see how athletically gifted he is, but I think the questions with, obviously with Cam, were those questions that everybody's bringing up. And so I think it's good for, I know it's good for us to get around him and kind of get a feel for him. I think it's good for Cam to be here.
Are you going
to
meet with quarterbacks, John? I mean, you don't really have a need, but are you going to meet with quarterbacks here?
You know what, they're not on our list, but we're definitely going to get with them all. And, we're going to delve into them, so.
When you played, John, you wanted to be the best, and there's a lot of talented players here at the Combine. Is there any way that you can gauge how much they want to be the best, how great their desire is?
I think that's important for us to find out, how important football is to them. You know, so, I mean, I think that, to get around and get a feel for them is the best, is the first start of, doing what you can do until they get to the pro days later on in the spring, so. That's a start, but I mean, I think that is the big key, is to figure that out, how much these kids want to play, because that's obviously a big, big factor to it.
John, you said a few weeks back that, have you guys reached out to him at all today? Because publicly, you guys are still saying he's the starting quarterback.
I met with Kyle, so I've talked to Kyle, And I told him the same thing I've told you guys. That, right now he's a starting quarterback. And so, we're in February. But if we had to play a game tomorrow, Kyle would be the guy. So we're going to continue down that path. Obviously, we got the draft and a lot of things ahead of us. And so, until that changes, it's not going to change. So until we get down the road and see what happens.
John, the Broncos haven't been a one up front for a few years now. The smaller, athletic, quicker type lineman under Mike than the bigger guy for Josh. What kind of lineman are you guys looking for now?
I think that comes down to Fox. I mean, I think that it kind of depends. And I don't want to answer for John. He's going to be the guy that it's his defense, and also Dennis Allen. I mean, those are the guys that what kind of guys they like. Now, John last year had huge guys in Carolina, and Dennis Allen had smaller, quicker guys in New Orleans. And so, I mean, I think that until we come together and figure out exactly what direction, and obviously a lot of things kind of go to that, where you are, where we are, and what we do in different positions to kind of determine what we do up front. So, I mean, that's really a Dennis Allen question as well as a John Fox question.
Is that a priority, though, up front? For this team, getting better.
I think we want to. Yeah, obviously, we got a lot of priorities. We're kind of waiting to see how it all falls out until we get to into the process. And obviously, we've been through a preliminary look at all the rookies, the guys coming out so far. But we haven't got too much into the study part of it yet. So obviously, all the names that you've heard that you read about are all great players. But until when we get back and start delving into everybody, get to the pro days, and then as we get closer to draft, we'll start pinpoint guys and ranking guys and getting our priorities. I think that, I don't want to dodge your question, but to answer your question and not to dodge it is the fact that, we do have several holes, and so we just have to figure out the priorities and what's available to us.
Do you expect a lot of phone calls for that second pick? I mean, that was really early in the process, but in your preliminary meetings, do you think there's going to be interest in that? What's your gut?
Who knows? I mean, I think that it's hard to tell, really don't have a feel for that yet.